I spent a couple of days last week at the Frank Murphy Hall of Justice. Back on July the 23rd of 2010, about 16 months ago, my nephew, Corporal Matthew Edwards, 31 years old, was gunned down by a man who earlier that evening had attempted to break into his estranged wife's apartment there in Taylor. My nephew and his partner, Greg Pache, responded at about 5:45 in the morning. They were both about a half hour away from ending their shift. It was, you know, their shift was coming to an end. But they got the call about the breaking and entering, and they went and they confronted Tyrese Matthews, a 36-year-old Westland man who had been attempting to break into his wife's apartment. And they confronted him, and he said, "All I want is my car keys." His words, paraphrasing, "My old lady's got my car keys, and she won't let me have them. All I want is my car keys, and I'll get out of here." To which the police officers responded, "Okay, man, we'll get you your car keys. Just stay calm." Greg Pache, Officer Greg Pache, turned to walk towards the apartment, and within 5 seconds, my nephew lay dead from a gunshot wound to the head at the hands of Tyrese Matthews, a three-time convicted felon. Three-time convicted felon. He'd been out only several months after having served an 8-year sentence for assault with a deadly weapon. This guy is a career criminal, and on Friday, he was charged with five different charges, the most important of which was premeditated first-degree murder on a peace officer, and he was found guilty of that, which demands, the law demands a life sentence, a mandatory life sentence, without the possibility of parole. So this guy, Tyrese Matthews, going away for the rest of his life. Going away for the rest of his life. He should have gone away for the rest of his life 15 years ago. He's been a criminal since he was 16. He should have gone away 15 years ago when he assaulted his first victim. It would have saved a lot of people a lot of grief. And one wonders why the state of Michigan does not have the death penalty. And I don't say that out of vengeance, because I got to tell you something. As I told my congregation yesterday during the Sunday school hour, my prayer for Tyrese Matthews is not that he rots in prison. My prayer for Tyrese Matthews is that he is exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ in prison, and that he comes to faith in Jesus Christ. Because the reality is, the only hope for Tyrese Matthews is not rehabilitation, it's regeneration. This man needs to be regenerated. It's obvious, isn't it? This man needs Jesus Christ. And so maybe the reason why Michigan doesn't have the death penalty is because God is being kind to Tyrese Matthews. God's kindness is what leads us to repentance. You know that? Romans chapter 2, verse 3. It is the kindness of God that leads us to repentance. It is his forbearance, his patience, and we presume upon the forbearance and patience of God all the time. And so God has been very kind to Tyrese Matthews. You know why? Because Tyrese Matthews did not kill a police officer in a state that has the death penalty. Tyrese Matthews killed a police officer in the rather liberal state of Michigan that says if you kill a police officer, you can stay alive, and we'll feed you and house you and clothe you and give you access to exercise rooms and make sure your every whim is taken care of for the rest of your natural life. That's what Tyrese Matthews is going to get. And God has been kind to him. One of the things that will be available to Tyrese Matthews up there in Jackson, if that's where he ends up, is a Bible study fellowship. Probably prison fellowship is up there. And he'll have an opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to see happen. I want to see the gospel of Jesus Christ work in Tyrese Matthews' life. I have no envy whatsoever towards him. But I'll tell you, no vengeance. I have no desire for vengeance whatsoever toward Tyrese Matthews. But it's interesting, as I sat in the courtroom about 3 days out of the 3 weeks of the trial, and God bless my brother and sister-in-law who were there on the second row every day for every minute of the 3 weeks of that trial, as I had opportunity to be down there in Judge Ulysses Boykin's courtroom, courtroom 603 in the Frank Murphy Hall of Justice, I couldn't help but think how those of us in the galley often presume upon the grace of God. And I shared a bit of this yesterday in the Sunday School Hour, and I don't want to take the time to repeat myself, but the reality is, you know, Romans 3, 22, 23, and 24, very important here. Romans chapter 3, verses 22, 23, and 24. We often read verses, or verse 23, right? We all know Romans 3, 23. For all have, that's it, sinned and come short of the glory of God. What we often don't read is the last part of verse 22 and all of verse 24. What the text actually says is there is no distinction or there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the propitiation that is in Christ Jesus. I sat there in that courtroom. And when you're in a courtroom like that and you have a man on trial who's sitting facing you, by the way, and you're looking at him every day, as my brother and sister-in-law did, and you're looking at this guy every day, very easy to look at him and say, yeah, you're the guilty one. You're the one on trial. But what we often miss is the early part of Romans 3, where it says, actually the end of Romans chapter 2, where it says, all the world is accountable to God. You know what I came away with from this trial? I came away with I was overwhelmed by the fact that God saved me, because there is no difference between me and Tyrese Matthews. Now, I was having a conversation with Roop Raj from Fox 2, and when I said that to him, he kind of looked at me like, really? And the reality is there is absolutely no difference between me and Tyrese Matthews when it comes to the wrath of God and the judgment of sin. Now, there is a difference in degree of sin. I'll give you that. I've never murdered anybody. But did you know that the Bible says if you hate your brother, you're a murderer? Jesus said that. He said, I've not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. And you've heard that it was said by those of old time, you shall not kill. But if you hate your brother without a cause, you're guilty of murder. And it's interesting to sit in that courtroom and fully recognize that there are people in that courtroom who consider themselves devoted followers of Jesus Christ, who hate their brother, who hate their brother. What the tragedy of that trial is you had people in the family section. You got people in the family section who don't think they're the sinners, who somehow think that they will escape the judgment of God. Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I mean, this is exactly what Paul's saying in Romans chapter 2. Who do you people think you are? You who judge will not escape the judgment of God. And you can sit in judgment on this man who a jury of his peers has now found him guilty of murdering my nephew. And there's no question in my mind from the very beginning, once I heard all the evidence, that he was guilty. And I certainly, it's no shock to you, I certainly believe the jury came to the right conclusion. However, it's dumbfounding to me that you've got so-called Christian people sitting mere feet from that defendant, who do not recognize that the judgment of God is on them. Because if you say that you love God whom you've not seen, and you hate your brother whom you have seen, how does the love of God abide in you? And I know you're listening. How does the love of God abide in you? How does the love of God abide in you? The Bible says, he that curses his father and mother, his lights will be put out in utter obscurity. That's in the book of Proverbs. Disobedience to parents and disrespect for parents has consequences. God says it has consequences. As a matter of fact, he said that honoring your father and mother is the first commandment with a promise of long life. Length of days and long life are promised to those who honor and don't curse their father and mother. And so you sit in a courtroom where there is a man on trial for killing a police officer. And because he killed a police officer, the police officer is automatically made an angel, and the defendant is automatically made a devil. And I want to tell you, there's no distinction. There's no distinction between me and Tyrese Matthews, and I got to tell you something. There's no distinction between Matthew Edwards and Tyrese Matthews in terms of their being rightful objects of the wrath of God. Both are sinners, if you believe the Bible. Now, this is going to get me email. Probably by the time we hit the first commercial break, it'll get me a call from a family member, and that's okay, because I'd rather tell you the truth of what the Bible says than have you feel like that because Matthew Edwards was a police officer, that the moment he took that bullet, that he was ushered into the presence of God. The fact that that we make him a martyr, Facebook pages call him a fallen angel, which a fallen angel is a demon, by the way. The fact that we've made an angel out of him doesn't make him an angel. The only hope that Matthew Edwards has is of being in the presence of Jesus Christ right now is the kindness of God. That's the only hope that my nephew has of being in the presence of God right now is the kindness of God. The fact that he was a good man and a good father and a good husband, the fact that he faithfully served for years as a police officer, I think 8 years as a police officer, he protected that community. He was awarded valor medals for protecting people in his community. Matthew was a good man. But you know what goodness will get you? It will get you hell. That's what goodness will get you. Matthew, my nephew, his only hope and my only hope and Tyrese Matthews' only hope of ever, ever seeing the face of God is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Matthew is not in heaven today because he was a police officer who died in the line of duty. There are a lot of people, there are thousands of people in the city of Taylor and in Downriver who've heard about the death of my nephew, who believe that God obviously opened the gates to him because he was a police officer killed in the line of duty. Nope. No way. God doesn't look on us. God looks on Jesus. And Matthew's only hope of heaven, my nephew, his only hope of heaven is the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to him as a gift. Let me read it to you again. There is no distinction. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the propitiation or the satisfaction, the atonement that is in Christ Jesus. I happen to know for a fact that my nephew, Matthew Edwards, believed Jesus Christ to be the atoning sacrifice for his sins. And so I don't say that Matthew is in heaven today because he was a police officer killed in the line of duty. Nor do I say that Tyrese Matthews is going to hell because he killed a police officer in the line of duty. Both of them deserve hell. The police officer and the killer. The police officer and his murderer both are the rightful objects of the wrath of God in spite of how they lived, because it is not the degree of sin that condemns us. It is sin that condemns us. And you see, there are a lot of Christians, and there were a lot of Christians in that courtroom, maybe even some pastors in that courtroom, who, while they will deny that our works don't save us, they will, out of the other side of their mouth, say that, well, by golly, Matthew must be in heaven because he was a good man. He did good things. He served his community. Of course he's in heaven. He was killed in the line of duty. Of course he's in heaven. I want to tell you, folks, that's not the gospel. The gospel says that Tyrese Matthews, the killer, the murderer, and my nephew, the murdered, Matthew Edwards, are both identical in the eyes of God. And I know that it's going to get me email. It's even going to get make my phone ring. Family members are going to call me and say, how in the world could you put Matthew, my nephew, in the same boat with his killer, Tyrese Matthews? Because God does. That's how. God does. I'm in the same boat with Tyrese Matthews. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace through the propitiation, through the atonement of Jesus Christ. That's the only hope. And so what I learned from spending a couple of days in court is that you've got people who aren't sitting at the judgment bar who think that because they're not sitting at the judgment bar that they've escaped the wrath of God. And I want to tell you something. The word of God is true. Whoso curses father and mother, his lights will be put out in utter darkness. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says, honor your father and mother, that you may have long life and length of days. It's the first commandment with promise. You violate God's law, and whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. I believe that my nephew Matthew, and this is just my belief, and it may offend my brother, it may offend my family. I can't worry about that. I believe that my nephew was chastised by God, but received by God into the presence of God based on his justification by faith. Even people that are justified can do sinful things, which is why if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to plead anything other than Jesus Christ. When I get to heaven, I'm going to point to Jesus Christ and say, you are everything. You are my mediator. You are my advocate. You are my redeemer. You are the one who bled for me and died for me. You are my only hope of salvation. And my hope for Tyrese Matthews, the killer of my nephew, is that as he sits in prison for the rest of his life, that someone from prison fellowship or somebody from a local church, somebody has the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with him. Wouldn't it be awesome if my nephew and his killer met again in heaven? Have you thought about that? You see, the reason we sorrow not even as others which have no hope, friends. I've done my share of crying, and I've done my share of crying on this radio program. But the reality is, my hope isn't at the cemetery. I don't go to the cemetery and sit there and wish that something be undone. My hope is in the fact that God works all things according to the counsel of his own will. God is working the murder of my nephew and the conviction of his murderer according to the counsel of his own will to the praise of his glory. I don't know how you could be sane and live under any other creed. I don't know how you could make sense of the world and not simply believe that God is working these things together according to the counsel of his will. He's certainly not working things according to the counsel of my will. My will would have been that my nephew live. My will would have been that my nephew live to see his children raised and be a godly influence on his son and his daughter. That would have been my will. But God's will has not been thwarted. God hasn't made a mistake, and he's working all things together according to the counsel of his perfect will. 866-423-9578. Take a couple of your calls here on the Paul Edwards program. Dan and Macomb, welcome. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Paul. I just wanted to say thank you for what you're saying, because outside of the work of the Holy Spirit and the law which is given to us to show us our own sinfulness, therefore a need for a Savior, I get so frustrated when I run into other people who can't grasp that, who can't understand that. We're all in the same predicament. We're all sinners in need of a Savior.
I am the rightful object of God's wrath. At this very moment, God would be justified in flushing me into hell. He would be totally justified in doing it. You know, but yet people will say, God is not just unless he saves everybody. If he's going to save some, he needs to save everybody. No, God is gracious in saving some. He would be perfectly justified to let every one of us go to hell.
That's exactly, and I couldn't agree with you more. I get frustrated, and sometimes, you know, you want to take things and think that there's something that you can do to convince people of that, but that is the work of the Holy Spirit and not for me.
Right, exactly. You know, I've argued these finer theological points with people, and you can't argue them. I had people argue before the Holy Spirit finally opened my eyes to the doctrines of grace. I was arguing the opposite point for years until finally sitting in my office one day just reading Ephesians 5, the penny dropped, and God said, "See, I'm true, and you're a liar." So, you know, God graciously opened my eyes to the truth. That doesn't make me better than anybody that he hasn't opened the eyes to. We would be better off not arguing the point, letting the Holy Spirit do the work through the word we preach.
Yeah, I had a pastor one time tell me that unless I could see myself on my knees worshiping Christ in heaven next to Adolf Hitler, then I didn't understand grace.
Yeah, that's a great image, Dan. That is absolutely a great image, and I appreciate you taking the time to call the program. 866-423-9578. There is no distinction. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Adolf Hitler and Paul Edwards, Tyrese Matthews and Paul Edwards, both deserving of the wrath of God, both equally able to receive the grace of God. And I'm praying for Tyrese Matthews that he comes to receive that grace. Deborah and Troy, how are you, sister?
I am blessed of the Lord and highly favored. I know you are too.
Yes.
I just wanted to thank you from the bottom of my heart, dear brother, for such an unbiased presentation of truth. As one who is a sinner saved by grace and has had the honor of sharing the gospel a multitude of times with people behind bars, I can tell you that it is the greatest honor and the greatest privilege to be able to stand there as a sinner saved by grace and to share that same truth and that same hope with another sinner.
No question about it. I had that experience when I was in Ethiopia 3 months ago, 2 months ago, standing in a prison with murderers and thieves and all kinds of different people, and all of us together singing and rejoicing, and it is the blood of Jesus Christ who made it possible for both of us to sing the same song. You are worthy because you've ransomed us by your blood out of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation.
Mm. Glory!
Yes, it is. I mean, we might have church here in a moment if we're not careful, Deborah. Thanks for the call. Appreciate hearing from you.
Been redeemed or rejoicing.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Deborah, for the call.